Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to talk to you about disappointments every leader feels. Disappointments every leader feels. But before I do, I want to just remind you of some opportunities ahead. On January 25th in Plano, Texas, we'll be doing our roundtable. Our roundtable will be new material that we start. We always begin at my church. This material I'm so excited about. I'm going to do one session that I've wanted to do for a while, but it's 12 principles every team member needs to know. 12 principles every team member needs to know. I'm going to also do another lesson that I just am so excited because I know when I teach it, it's going to create more. And I'm going to do a lesson on advanced leadership thinking. Advanced leadership thinking. When you're in a position of any kind of leadership, just how do you think? And what does that thought pattern look like? So I think this is going to be gold to you. I think it'll be valuable. You can sign up at my website, GeraldBrooksMinistries.com. Also, in January, I just got off the phone with the pastor who's going to start showing our leadership videos. He had heard from another pastor who had told him how he's showing those leadership videos to his leaders and the impact that they have had. And what's happened is it's just become a snowball where churches are beginning to show these videos and they're beginning to have an impact and they're beginning to have traction in their church. And there's difference between having, quote, volunteers in a church and having leaders in a church. Volunteers, you have to oversee. Leaders, you can let them go and they will do something great in your church. And so those videos are available and you can reach out online and reach out to my office. But I want to pause and I want to talk to you about disappointments that leaders feel. Now, maybe it's the uniqueness of the ministry that God's given me and the calling that God's given me, but I get a lot of people who will call me and just say, man, I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed. And they'll begin to talk about things that have disappointed them. And they're living with this weight of disappointment. And so the first thing that I want to say to you, and I would say to them is, you're not the first one. You're not the first one that the more you lead, you feel like the more disappointment you experience. In fact, there's a Bible story of someone pretty famous who had to wade through a whole lot of disappointment, and his name was Moses. Now, Moses was going to be one of those prime leaders that God's going to highlight in Scripture. We're given so much detail and we're given so much insight about him. But what's going to happen is there's going to be a leadership moment. He's going to be doing exactly what God wants him to do, and he's going to be exactly where God wants him to be, except the leaders around him are going to fail. And as that begins to happen, it's going to create some disappointment. But within this story are the different kinds of disappointments that he experienced in one event, but I think we all experience in repeated events. So let me just remind you of the story. It happens in Exodus chapter 32. They've succeeded in crossing the Red Sea. They've seen the Egyptians be devastated, but now they're beginning to figure out who God is to them and what God wants them to do. And so for that to happen, Moses has gone up and he's gone up on this mountain and he's in the presence of God. And let me just say that if you're going to lead, please lead because you've been in the presence of God. And that's what Moses is doing. Except while he's up on this mountain, it just takes longer than he thought. And one of the things you also need to know as a leader is that if you've got big leadership shoes to fill, you're going to have to spend a lot of time in God's presence, and you're going to have to spend a lot of time alone. So he's climbed up on this mountain, and there he's engaging his heart before God. We know Joshua has gone as far up on the mountain as he can go, but Moses has gone further, and he's going to be up there. But while he's up there, he has left Aaron, his brother, in charge. And that's going to lead to the first disappointment, and that is this: when people you trust fail. When people you trust fail. See, Aaron was someone that Moses trusted. He trusted him because of their longevity together. He trusted him because of their relationship. He trusted them because he had been his mouthpiece. He had literally repeated everything. He was the echo chamber for Moses of what God was saying. So it would seem like he could go and he could spend time alone with God and everything would be fine in Aaron's hands. Except it wasn't. Because when Moses didn't come down, when people thought he should come down, the people came to Aaron and said, "Make us gods." Now, really, this is one of those troubling thoughts to me. These individuals have literally watched the miracles that God did in Egypt. And God has been introduced as Jehovah, Yahweh, to Israel. And Moses goes, and it takes a little bit longer than they thought. And now these individuals are saying, "Make us gods." See, the thing isn't that the people said, "Make us God." It's the thing that as soon as that was said, Aaron should have spoke up and said, "I've been the mouthpiece for God. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to me. I spoke to you." So let's revisit some of the thoughts of what God has said. And let's talk about some of those things, like there will be no other gods before me. See, as we invest in others, pouring in time, energy, and heart, only to find that our investment was a poor one, that is heart-wrenching for a leader. When we look and we say our return on investment, that we spent hours with somebody, and then it just looks like the hours have been totally futile, this is emotionally devastating. And so pastors and leaders start saying, "Who can I trust? And can I even do this again?" And for many leaders, this becomes a pivot point for them because they say, "Well, I'm not going to trust anyone." But what I want to say to you is, if Moses would have taken that tact, what would have happened is there would have never been a Joshua. Because even though there's going to be some people that you trust and they're going to fail, what you find is this: there are going to be some people you're going to invest in who they will succeed. You can't give up because one person fails. You can't stop investing in people. So the first disappointment that Moses felt was just the disappointment of, "I trusted you. How did we get here? Why did you do this?" When our return on investment doesn't seem to be happening in a positive way. If you give up on doing that, there will never be a future in the line of leadership or ministry. So number one, disappointment when people you've trusted fail. The next one, when standards are ignored. What I've learned about churches is that every church has its rules. Now, we all live by the Bible, but even within the Bible, everyone has their house rules. So at our church, we have house rules, and this doesn't change any rule for anyone else. It's just our house rule, and that is there is no pastor's parking space. I park as far out as anyone else does, and I walk. Part of it is I'm healthy. Part of it is I'm always early. And so I don't need to rush in at the last minute but it's one of our house rules. Now, that's a standard. If you're going to lead in our church, you're not going to park close, you're going to park far. But when standards are ignored, and when Moses comes down from this mountain, and man, I can't even imagine what this looked like. It says in Exodus 32:25, the people were naked. See, leaders are drawn to high standards. But when there's compromise, it kills a leadership culture. When I go into organizations, I said, tell me the standards you have for leaders. And here's the standard that most people have. Well, they come more often than others. That's not a standard. That just could mean someone doesn't have a social life. But on the other hand, what's happening here is that the basic standards of leadership were being ignored. People were just left to do whatever you want to do. And if you're going to let people do whatever they want to do, they're never going to be leaders. Leaders are drawn to standards. That's why Paul and Timothy gave standards. Why Paul and Titus gave standards. Why Paul said, to whom much is given, Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. See, there are standards. If you're going to lead, you step up, you don't step down. You don't go back, you go forward. And what was interesting is what Moses said to Aaron about this. He said, even our enemies, when they hear about this, and that's something that I found in leadership, even people who are non-leaders know that leaders should live with certain expectations. He said, even our enemies, even the people who don't believe like we believe, think what we think, do what we do, and are for what we're going to achieve, he said, they've got standards, and you've gone beneath their standards. What I know is this world expects something of leaders. But when you ignore the standards, you create an environment where the world will never believe what you're saying. The next one, when people don't care as much as you. Now, I have to tell you, this was probably the hardest disappointment I've ever had to live with. See, I assumed everyone was as passionate as me, everyone was as committed to me, everyone would be as driven as me. I really thought that. I thought, man, everyone's going to have a passion level that they're going to want to drive towards this vision. They're want to fulfill God's plan. They are going to want to be into something that's valuable. Honestly, it stuns me when people aren't excited about people coming to know Christ. But I deal with Christians all the time. And it's like unbelievers bother us because they get in the way of our Bible study. When Jesus said he came to seek and to save those that were lost, and I'm thinking, we got to be passionate. Jesus came for this. And those of you that know me, you know that I operate my life on a very simple vision. And that is, I want to make heaven bigger and I want to make the kingdom of God better. Heaven bigger means this. We're going to reach lost people. The kingdom of God better, I'm going to help raise up leaders of all shapes and kinds throughout the body of Christ. But when people don't care as much, my wife had to really help me with this. Because when people didn't care, I would go overboard. I would just look at them and I would say, what in the world are you doing? And I'd have to say in the past, I didn't model this or handle this well. And to any of you that you were there in the past and you're hearing this, I apologize to you. But Jenny said to me, you're an owner. Some people are just here and they're not owners, they're renters. And someone says, well, what's the difference between an owner and a renter? When you own something, you want to keep it up. When you rent something, you're going to be there for a time, and a lot of things don't matter to you because you know that this isn't going to be your home. But in Exodus 32 and verse 22, Aaron basically says, why is God so mad about this? And it's like, duh, because he cares about the people. He cares about the journey. He cares about where they're going. And so leaders get disappointed when they invest in people and they find out that they couldn't trust them. And when the standards that seem to be propagated and proclaimed clearly are just ignored. And when people do not care as much as you do. And then another disappointment is when people don't take responsibility for their actions. See, as a leader, I know that people are going to fail because I've read the Bible. I mean, Jesus had 12 guys that were pretty proficient in failure. Thomas was pretty good at doubting. Peter was pretty good at over-talking. John and his brother were pretty good at saying, let's call down fire. I've read the Bible. I know that the best teams have failure in them. It's not the failure that disappoints a leader. It's when someone fails and doesn't take responsibility. See, Aaron said, and the people came to me and said. At no point did he take responsibility and say, I was in the driver's seat. I was the one who was supposed to be overseeing everything, and I let the moment take me places that it shouldn't take me, and I let the messaging of people compel me to do things that I shouldn't do. And I just want to start and say to God, I'm sorry. And Moses, to you, I'm sorry. It was just a deflection. See, you can't grow if you're deflecting because you don't see anything that you did wrong. But see, as a leader, we take responsibility and we own it. In fact, if you're a leader, you not only own your failures, but you own the failures of the team around. And there have been times when my team has failed and people wanted literally their head. And I would say, hey, it's not them. You come to me. I'm responsible. I'm the one. If you want someone's head, come after me. It's my job to train them. It's my job to raise them up. It's my job. And I've protected my team when they haven't been responsible, because I knew that I had a teaching moment and they would learn to be responsible. Another disappointment is when vision just isn't caught. And in this, everything that God's done has been ignored for them to do what they're doing. So again, in Exodus 32 and verse 23, everything tends to revolve around about three verses in this passage. But the vision isn't caught. See, remember when God asked Moses to go on this journey, Moses said, I want to tell people who sent me. And God says, Jehovah, Yahweh. There's going to be this articulation of the name of God for the first time. The redemptive name of God, the name that's going to be used to describe God being able to take people out of a cycle of bondage and to set them free, and that is Jehovah. And so that name is going to be the name, and they're going to see it not one time, but 10 times. And they're going to see it not just 10 times, but they're going to see it at the Red Sea. And they're going to see it with the destruction of the Egyptian army. And they are going to see it when the Amalekites came after them. They're going to see it repeatedly. But after everything God's done, they still haven't caught the vision of God. That there is a God who is committed to us, a God who loves us, and a God who is going to take care of us. And vision is the language of leaders. Leaders don't talk in terms of plan, they talk in terms of vision. And vision is what drives a leader. But sometimes you can tell the vision and people don't get it. That's why Habakkuk said, write the vision upon the wall, make it plain that everyone who runs by can read it quickly. You've got to make vision concise and you've got to make it clear. Vision, when it's not caught, it's heartbreaking for a leader. It disappoints them. When attitudes become destructive, see, what you know in leadership is this. Whenever something happens that appears negative, until people have been well trained, they will always go back to past patterns. So, after the crucifixion of Jesus, what did Peter do? He went back to fishing. Everyone goes back to what they're used to. And see, in Egypt, they had these attitudes. And these attitudes were just negative attitudes. But when Moses doesn't come down, their attitude takes over, but it begins to be destructive. See, for most people, it's not changing things, it's changing them. And most people don't have problems around them. They have a problem in them. And you can't run back to the past. You always run to the future. And so let me just walk you through. Leaders get disappointed when people that they thought they trust fail. They get disappointed when standards are ignored, when people do not care as much as them, when people don't take responsibility for their actions, when vision isn't caught, and when attitudes are destructive. Let me give you one last one. When people become impatient, when things aren't moving as fast as they want. See, this whole thing happened because God wasn't in a hurry and they were. And you need to understand, God's not in a hurry, even if you are. God's dealing with Moses because when you get the leader right, you can get the team right. If the leader learns the presence of God, the team can learn the presence of God. But they became impatient. And a lot of disappointment happens because we just can't be still and know that He's God. These are just some of the disappointments. And the reason I share them is I feel them. You feel them. It's a part of the leadership journey. But having moments where you feel disappointment is different than becoming a disappointment. You may feel disappointed, but as a leader, never become a disappointment. I want to remind you about the leadership videos. A lot of pastors are kicking off the new year with training. This could be helpful to you. I also want to remind you of our roundtables are coming up. They are just going to come in a lot of ways. They're going to happen in Plano. They're going to happen in Seattle. They're going to happen in Florida. All of them. You can go to my website, but sign up. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.